Send us what we do not naturally like. to see how the creatures come from God. I've said this, I'm sure, more than once. I just began teaching in high school in Cincinnati at the Jesuits classroom. And I was given 4 classes, ancient history. First thing I learned is how to spell Babylonia, Assyria. Can all see it? I was at a beginning to teach the subject. My students, 4 classes of freshmen. They were bored. So was I. But I couldn't show my boredom. They did. 2 weeks after beginning teaching, they appointed my spiritual father. How are things going? Great. I love teaching. But those bums in class, they couldn't care less. Don't pay attention. They're talking. Don't do their homework. I've said that I'm sure more than once. Johnny told me, why don't you start meditating 1 hour each morning before mass? Meditating on those bums in class. Tell our Lord what you think of them. The door was closed. I'm not exaggerating. I spoke out loud. And the secret was to find out, Lord, you want me to teach these fellows 2 semesters of ancient history? What is this gift of knowledge? It is the gift of the Holy Spirit enables us to see how everything in our lives is a grace from God. I don't want to unnecessarily repeat myself. One thing this gift of knowledge teaches us, there are present graces, and there are painful graces, but the secret is to see them as graces, no matter how unpleasant, painful, annoying, and disagreeable they may be. The gift of knowledge provides us with the grace we need to see that there is no such thing as coincidence in our lives. I keep repeating because I know how much I need it. Everything in our lives is part of God's providence, and the word is everything. The gift of knowledge provides us, and notice, with the inclination to see every pleasure, every pain, every thought, every desire, every person, and what we call a happening, as part of the providence of God. I can be very open. I still watch my vocabulary. Lord, I've asked you more than once. Having decided to become a priest and religious. Why did you ever give me the inclination to join the Society of Jesus? I think I've shared this with you. He lost 15,000 Jesuits since the Second Vatican Council. One of our Jesuit universities after another. Big, bright Catholic name. I wish these universities were Catholic in reality. As I look back, well, I can speak from experience. Things I could never have done in God's mysterious providence, unless I had been, and with God's grace remained, a member of the Society of Jesus. The years, 31 years of formal academic training, as we say in Rome, Mamma Mia. But I'm still learning how we need those who have and better than average mind, who had above average education, to cope with the demonic power of brilliant minds alienated from God, who are seducing whole nations from Christianity. I hope I am clear. What exactly is this gift of knowledge? This gift of knowledge is not only for ourselves, but also for others. How to help others, so not only we, but they may know how to deal, they in turn, how to deal with others, and those others, how to deal with still others, and those others, to deal with still other others. Because among the creatures, now the gift of knowledge provides us with supernatural intuition. Is how to see in every human being that enters our lives a person whom God wants to obtain from us what they need. Every person entering our lives is in need. And there is no deeper need of the human heart than to know how shall I use a verb to cope with what we casually and mistakenly call problems. My friend, there are no problems in our lives. Do you hear that? What we call problems are all acts of God's providence. Some things I keep repeating because they're so important. We have a problem, in quotation marks. You're not a problem. Ask God to let you know what He wants. There's really only one problem to justify that word. And the problem is, how do I submit my will to the will of God? hope I am clear. You have a problem, unquote. We pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? And whatever else you gain from this retreat, in the name of our Lord, who is here and exposed in the Blessed Sacrament, find out from him what he wants you to do in the days, weeks, and years still left you here in this valley of tears. Oh, how lynx-eyed we can be in only what others should do. But how blind, as Christ tells us, how purblind, as Phil P. are blind, how purblind we can be in not seeing what God wants me to do. Ask him. You've prayed, you find out. You still have a problem. You're scared. Oh, Lord. Not that. Yes, my dear. I want you to do that. You pray again. I'm talking from experience. I'm not exaggerating. These meditations are so many chapters of my autobiography. Pray now again. Pray for the grace, the strength to do what your mind, enlightened all by God, tells you you should do. Knowledge enables us to see everything from the viewpoint of God. It is leading us, and if underlined, double underlined, the word mysteriously, to our eternal destiny. And I mean mysteriously. We define a mystery as that which is rationally inconceivable, for God reveals it. And secondly, a mystery is rationally incomprehensible, even after we know what the mystery is. Don't try to comprehend the depth of God's dealings in your life. And I keep repeating to one audience after another, has God only two questions? What did you want you to do and how did you want you to do it? Don't you dare ask him why. All we need to know, that's all, is what he wants and how he wants it. Believe me, God's providence is profoundly mysterious. And that means rationally incomprehensible. I've had both wives and husbands come to me, pardon me, individually. A wife, married, say 20 years. Father, I cannot understand why I ever marry this man. Your husband, my husband. Don't try to understand. It's a mystery. this same question. When my father died when I was a year old, having dated a wonderful girl for the 4 years of college, the afterward, my book letter, her name was Josephine. She called herself Joe. My first letter, "Dear Joe." On the letter right back, "Dear Joe, please don't misspell my name. It's J-O, not J-O-E." "You husbands, do not try to comprehend your wives. They are a mystery. Am I clear?" This gift of knowledge enables us to distinguish among the creatures which ones and then that quadrant, which ones we are to enjoy, which ones we are to endure, which ones we are to get rid of, and which ones we are to sacrifice. As I've told some of you more than once, please don't tell your wives after this week, "Jean, I've heard something wonderful. You are the creature in my life that God wants me to endure." This gift of knowledge enables us to make a daily inventory of our lives, which I strongly recommend. Before you retire, make an inventory of the creature that God has put into your life. And how have you dealt with them? In our lives on earth, we being creatures ourselves, and everyone who has our lives, is a creature, but remember, a creature place into our lives precisely at the time and the way in which God the Creator wants this creature to enter my life. Have I ever responded to the creatures in a given day according to the will of God? We go on. Is the gift of knowledge important? It is indispensable. The gift of knowledge gives us the light we need to be, hear the verb, detached from creatures. And this terrible English language, you separate one paper from another, you detach it. Something is stuck, you detach it. In the vocabulary of our faith, detachment is treating creatures in our lives as only a means to an end. And by end, and again, that English language of ours, the primary meaning of end is purpose. Do you hear me? The end of this, lost. End of this table. I repeat, the principal meaning of India's purpose. No creature of lives is to be an end in itself, and detachment from creatures means just that. I treat every creature in my life as only a means to an end, and that end is capitalized, that end is God. How necessary is this gift of knowledge? Is the gift we need to see our lives from the perspective of God. I go on. This gift of knowledge is the instinctive, supernaturally instinctive ability to sift what is good from what is bad, to sift from the creature in our lives which ones are useful and which ones are useless, to sift, I repeat, with supernatural ability, what creatures in our lives are helpful and which ones are harmful. Whatever you do before this week ends, be sure to sift out the creatures in your life. What reading is good, what reading is bad? What persons are useful, what people in our lives are useless? And watch it. And the more generous they are, the more charitable they want to be. Hear it. I'm talking from experience. The more people will impose on you. Am I clear? There was such a thing as being used by others. Oh, what sifting we need to do, the sifting I have to do, and I'm sure I've said it again more than once. I get all kinds of telephone calls. And now I have two phones. One is strictly a private phone and becoming more and more public every week. Another one is a more public telephone. But both phones I allow to ring and record. When I make appointments for a person to call me, more than once, call me at 4 p.m. The phone rings. Somebody else that I made the appointment with calls. I'm not sure you all need it. Some of you may. Learn how to terminate a telephone call kindly, charitably, but firmly. I wouldn't dare say this in the first retreat I gave this week, especially from women. Oh, God bless them. I get a call. I see this will be 3 minutes, no more. And it's over. The conversation just began. One more minute. I give you my blessing. Just one single minute more. And I cannot think of anything in our lives that exercise his gift of knowledge more courageously than the use of our time. I hope I am clear. We speak of time-saving devices. We save time for what? To waste more time in other ways. I'm sure you know what the word agenda means. We need to restore Latin in our society. The Latin verb to do is agere. The Latin language, unlike the English, has a root called gerundive. The gerundive root is the root of the imperative. Imperative of the verb agere to do is agendum, singular, agenda, plural. Agenda means the things that must be done. How clever, how devious we can be in avoiding doing the things or giving the time that the important things in our lives deserve. And I'm speaking from my own, shall I say, sinful experience. This gift of knowledge is the gift that enables us to notice instinctively shift from the things we are doing because they are not necessary and shift to what we should be doing. Every day, I mean this from the depths of my heart, examine your consciences, not only what you've done, but what you should do. You people from in business, you have a mind who is, well, the manager of a pizza hut. He tells me, every night, he must make an inventory. Whether the amount of money in the cash register corresponds to the amount of pizzas that have been sold. How we need to sift our conduct. And then shift from maybe the thing we've been doing for years. Spend all kinds of time while before God is, I won't say necessary, may even be positively harmful to our spiritual lives. We continue. The gift of knowledge enables us to see everything in our lives as only, in a bottom line, the outward only, a means to eternal life. Nothing else after that period. But remember, it is not just You know what God wants us to do. The gift of knowledge provides us also with the instinctive supernatural ability to know how we are to use the creatures that God puts into our lives. And among the qualities of the how is to make sure that the creatures that God puts into our lives, which are demanding, difficult, painful, we do not do reluctantly. And you fathers, how much I know, I call Father, and for good reasons, because the primary purpose of you, shall I say, earthly fathers, the primary purpose of fatherhood is not, comma, not to bring children into this world. No. The primary purpose is, of course, to bring children into this world, but for the world to come. And don't you dare say that because a son or daughter of yours has reached a certain age that you know are no longer his or her father. As I've told so many people, the word father is both a noun but mainly a verb. And your fatherhood will be as effective a channel of grace to your children to bring them to the heaven for which you brought them into this world. Here, in the exact measure of your own doing the will of God. Now, how are we to grow and develop this gift of knowledge? And I've been saying it so far, we'll continue until we close this retreat. We grow in our gift of knowledge as we grow in our faith. Growing the understanding of the meaning of what they believe. Growing clearly perceiving what we believe. And the third quality which we analyzed when we spoke on growing the faith, growing the certitude of your faith. And I don't want to dwell on this, but to be honest, I must at least say a few words. In living, as I keep saying, in the most critical age of Christianity, nothing like it in 2,000 years. Such widespread dissemination of error, and as we've said, by the evil spirit, the father of lies. How we need to understand the church's teaching. How do we grow in this gift of knowledge? By applying what we believe, everything that we do. And the more painful, the more demanding, the better. because it forces us, as over the years it has forced me, ask myself one way. Not because I like it, but because God wants it. And the secret, I keep repeating, the secret of authentic, true happiness is not, not in doing our will, in spite of our widespread lies to the contrary. Some practical reflections. I recommend daily asking the Lord, Lord, that I may see your presence everywhere, see your purpose in everything, see your vision behind everything. Only God knows, only He needs to know the price you have to pay to live out these three recommendations. To see God's presence everywhere, His purpose in everything, and His wisdom behind everything. All life we need, otherwise known as the gift of knowledge. And I go on. Keep a journal before this retreat is over. My plan is to distribute several pages to all of you. I'm writing. While writing in the spiritual life and writing in the apostolics. The pouring out of millions and millions of words by those who do not believe in the one true God and in Jesus Christ whom He sent. Late '70s, I was told by the Holy See to operate with a group of people from throughout the country to use the media for promoting and propagating the Catholic faith. And in media not only, either namely radio and television, though of course including those, but the whole gamut of communication, including writing. Finally, after years, in our starting 16 Catholic radio stations, of course, it means raising millions of dollars. One of my hidden apostolates, raising money. Keep a journal. I never use the word diary in talking to men. I even prefer to journal, keep a log. Did you know that Christopher Columbus kept a log on his way from Spain to what he thought would be the Indies? Did you know that? And he began each day's entry with this invocation. how we need to keep, and I'm speaking from a lifetime of experience, not just my own, but I know the thousands of souls that God has put into my life. Keep some record, daily of your service of God. For the past, and the future. And thank God, I don't have to apologize to anyone for not writing enough. But men especially tell me, I don't like to write. Women, very few women will tell me that. Oh, they love to write. Keep a record. What we write is a mirror of our minds. And let me tell you, writing is humiliating. You read what you've written. Ask yourself, what numbskull wrote this? Illogical, inconsistent. You ever be learning grammar school? Everything should have, remember, unity, coherence, and emphasis. Read what you write and go in your humility. The main reason why more people do not write is because of pride. I quote Cardinal Newman. I'm on the how of owning this gift of knowledge. Keep an inventory of what you have done, what you should do. And what our Lord wants you to do. St. Ignatius recommends, stronger still, orders everyone who makes the 30-day spiritual exercises to keep a written record of every day's meditations. How to grow in his gift of knowledge. Promise our Lord. Promise him that you will avoid what your conscience enlightened by the gift of knowledge tells you you should avoid. Promise him. I'm not telling you to take a vow. Although over the years, how many souls I've encouraged even to take vows. Just two sentences. A vow is a promise made to God binding under sin. Period. Next sentence. I'm not telling you to take vows. Period. I would not exclude, after you discuss this with, say, a priest whom you know, whether you should not, perhaps, vow. Certain things you don't have to tell anyone except God. What you promise to do under pain of venial sin. I've taken vows and thanks to thy goodness, I have taken both my public vows and would not dare I identify. I also will make all private vows. I repeat, I'm not telling you to take a vow. Am I clear? But promise God you're going to do something without binding yourself under sin to do it. Am I still clear? You promise to do something that you're not obliged to do. And you bind yourself under pain of sin. No. Or it's your responsibility. But do promise God. We need Catholics, and I'm speaking, I'm sure, to my audience, who trust that whatever they have promised to do, they promised God they would do it. They will make His divine promise to provide you with the grace you need and remain faithful to your promise. Am I clear? Promise God that you will avoid certain things. Promise God you will do certain things. And then do them. And the beginning, the promise made to God is that God on His side makes His promise to provide you with the grace you need to remain faithful to your promise. Promise our Lord and be sure you know what you are promising. Do not just do what you have to do in the pain of sin. Not only to avoid what again you must avoid as the approximate occasion of sin. Promise God that you will do what is more pleased with if you do it. The secret of sanctity is the practice of preference. The secret of holiness is a practice of choosing what is more pleasing to God. And should I say it, what is more pleasing to God, maybe, shall I say it, less pleasing to me? Oh, what an examination of conscience we must all make daily, beginning with the speaker. How precious is this gift of knowledge. And remember, it is a gift which enables our minds by supernatural instinct to know what is pleasing to God, and then the will having been enlightened by the gift of knowledge, we choose it. The greatest joy on earth is pleasing God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for endowing us with the supernatural gift of knowledge. But you know us so well, you know how easily we can be bewitched by the things of this world, seduced by creatures, and as a result, not know what you want us to do. Every moment of our days here on earth. Because, dear Jesus, if we've been faithful to living out our gift of knowledge in this world, we shall know you and see you, our God, face to face for endless ages. Amen. In the Father.